Okay, then let's begin. Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, okay. What we're going to do today is lesson 10. And there's some questions here that are, easier. They're just simple definitions. Some of them take a little thought. I think the most difficult one is probably number 8. So we'll spend time on that one. I'll also give you some hints on, maybe some easier, easier words to use. And anyway, we'll start with the first question is, what is haiku? And in this answer, there's expression they use. They have verse form, and normally haiku is considered just a poem, which is very standard English. So verse form is correct, but it's like, what kind of verse form? So poem is probably more specific. So if you use a model answer, it's fine. If you want to change it a little, that's fine. And again, this answer is a little bit difficult. They have some words like evocative poem, verse form, which is not real spoken English. And then they have on the second line, themes may be inspired by intuitive perception, which are really, really difficult and kind of academic words that sound nice, but people don't really understand. So if you want to just make it simple, haiku is a very compact, haiku is a very short but witty poem of 17 syllables. So even rather than, compact is fine, but even short, most of the time when we speak in English, we use a short story, a short paragraph, a short sentence, so short probably is more commonly used. So haiku is a very short but witty poem of 17 syllables. And then they have this expression of in a 5-7-5 line pattern, which is not easy to understand. And I just simply use junior high school English, and I say the first line has 5 syllables. Okay, and then the next one is the second line. How many? Second line has 7 syllables. The third line, or the last line if you want to say, has 5 syllables. So just basically junior high school English makes this very clear. If you want to say the 5-7-5 line pattern, it's okay because it's kind of a standard answer for this. But, if you like to say it in a different way, that's also one way you can do it. So anyway, let's start. And let's hear what your answer is for what is haiku.
Haiku. A haiku is a non-rhymed, short, witty poem. There are 5 syllables in the first sentence, 7 in the second, and 5 in the last sentence. The word haiku comes from the Japanese word meaning light verse. Haiku verse or poem has a rule that it must contain 2 items. One is kigo, a word that symbolizes or implies the season of the poem. The other one is kireji. It's a cutting word, and ya or kana. And he has a famous poem that Matsuo Basho, the famous poet, wrote. This is an example.
Okay.
Furuike ya. Ya is kireji. Furuike means old pond. Kawazu, it's a kigo. The frog means frog.
Okay.
The spring kigo.
Okay.
And tobikomu, is a leap in. Mizu no oto, water sound. This is an example.
Okay, good.
Very short, witty one.
Right, okay, right. Yeah, it's very interesting. Good. Okay. I think it's a good answer, so fine. What is your answer for what is haiku?
Haiku is a type of short poem which consists of 3 lines. There are 5 syllables in the first line, the second is 7 syllables, and the last line is the 5 syllables. And poets usually try to express the nature, feelings, and experiences. and by only 17 syllables, but beautiful language.
Okay, good. All right, and let's have her try the same question, and the answer is, what is haiku?
Haiku is a very short poem consisting from five syllables. Consisting of 5-7-5 syllables.
Okay.
In haiku, the poet attempts to express his deepest emotions by describing nature in simple but beautiful language. Matsuo Basho is the most famous haiku poet. He thought of life in terms of a journey. In Meiji era, Masaoka Shiki is also very famous.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Just in the Meiji era.
In the Meiji
era. Yeah, I know every week, not only this class, but everyone leaves off the Meiji era, the Meiji or Kamakura or whatever. The Meiji era. You have to have the. And then century also. I hear a lot of people say in 17th century, in the 17th century. So these are very important words. It sounds a little bit strict for me to say this, but it isn't proper grammar without it, so you need it. And also, when you say these small words, it brings your level up much higher. Instead of sounding like broken English, you sound fluent. Okay, so of course I understand if you do not say it. So during Meiji period, something, something. But without it, it sounds like broken English. So with it, it sounds better. So just try to remember. I think I do this for every class and every week. So it's a simple thing you can improve your level.
Meiji comes from the emperor's name.
Right.
Meiji emperor. When we say emperor, no need for the Showa emperor.
Yeah, you don't need it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can sometimes get the Meiji Emperor, but Meiji Emperor. Emperor Meiji is probably the most... Emperor Meiji is more common English to put it in that order, isn't it?
In that case, either the Emperor Meiji.
No, you don't need it.
Emperor Meiji.
Right, but with the period you do, and with the century you do. Okay, good. All right, what are some of the themes of haiku? Haiku. What are some of the themes of haiku?
Themes. Deepest emotion of a poet in haiku, poets try to express. And most important thing, one haiku must include kigo, seasonal word.
Okay, right. All right. So just some of the themes of haiku are what, of course, seasons, but also what, some things about life and nature. These types of things, right? Like they have, and I think anyway, your answers sound fine. Okay, so just practice this, and I think like some of you do every week, bring in your answers that are fixed, that are ready. So all you need to do is just maybe do a little bit of fixing here, and then you can just memorize and practice the same answer. Okay, let's go on to the next question, which is, what is waka? Now you have the microphone, why don't you start? What is waka?
Waka is also said, expressed as tanka. Waka is also a type of short poem with lines of 5-7-5-7-7 syllables. Mm-hmm. Unique to Japan. Waka is regarded as one of Japan's principal literature forms and has been read through the ages. We can see a lot of waka in Hyakunin Ishu. So I think waka has a longer history than tanka.
Okay, right. All right. Yeah, there it's anyway. What is it? Waka is like a, what is it? It's just a kind of a type of, what does it say here? It says a type of classical poem. And tanka is one of the forms under waka, right? Yes. But usually nowadays, if you say waka, it means tanka. But waka is...
I thought waka yeah. has two,
uh-huh. yeah.
two forms. Choka,
yeah, choka
and tanka.
Right, choka and tanka, yeah.
Waka
and
now, is inclusive.
Yeah, waka is
song.
Right, waka is an inclusive form. And then tanka is usually that. There's no, people, I don't know, I don't know much about choka, but tanka is usually, what people say, what is waka? It equals tanka. But technically, waka is a type of verse form
yes.
that has choka and tanka.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't have to explain all of that in your answer, just so you know in your mind. Okay, so what is your answer for what is waka?
Waka is a type of classical Japanese poem appeared around 7th century. Today, waka usually refers to tanka. Tanka is a much older form of Japanese poem than haiku. The tanka consists of 5 units. The upper phrase consists of 5-7-5 sound units. And conclude with the lower place 7-7 sound units. And the poets express everything in everyday life.
Okay, good, fine. A couple things. Sound units, is it, does that mean syllables?
Yes, syllables. Japanese sound units.
Okay. Probably still, huh?
Five sound units and 7 sound units. That's what she means.
Yeah, uh-huh. But I'm saying sound units isn't very common. So probably syllables? Would that work
yes.
better? Yeah.
So can I say the upper phrase consists of 5-7-5 Japanese syllables?
I don't even know if you need to say Japanese syllables. It's syllables.
Syllables.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the upper part consists of, you know, 3 lines, and
yes.
they are 5-7-5 syllables each.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Good. And you had appeared, and before appeared, put that appeared in your first part of your...
Japanese poem that appeared around 7th century.
Yes, put that appeared. Okay, good. All right. And your answer for what is
my answer
is waka.
Waka. Originally, Japanese had been speaking and communicating in Yamato Kotoba language long before kanji, an ideograph from China, was introduced and adopted in the 5th century. Waka means Yamato Utaoya, or Japanese poem. Waka roughly has 2 forms, choka, long poem, and tanka, short poem. Choka is sound unit of 5 and 7, should be repeated at least twice, and concludes with 5-7-7 words ending, while tanka is altogether 31 syllable phrase.
Okay, well, the tanka, sorry, last sentence, can you say that?
Well, tanka is altogether 31 syllables.
Syllables.
Syllables, okay. I thought the syllable phrase I wrote.
Oh,
syllables.
Is a, then you have to put a, is
a, syllable
a
phrase.
31
syllable
phrase. Good, okay.
Here's the sample. Here's a sample. It's tanka in Asuka period. Shirogane mo. That's silver. Kumane mo, that's 5. Kumane mo tamamo, 7. It's gold or jewel. Nani sen ni. I will read first. Narisen ni is 5, Masareru takara 7, Koni shikameyamo 7. The meaning, what are they to me, silver or gold or jewels? How could they ever equal the greater pleasure that a child? They cannot.
Mm. Okay.
That's tanka.
That's tanka. Okay, right. It's a little. It's longer, like double the size of haiku almost, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So I think we're fine. Is everybody okay with your answers for waka? Okay. Hmm?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Last week you said that this answer on the textbook is not good. That I mean that the foreigners cannot understand these answers. And what part of which part of the
The haiku?
Yes.
Yeah, the haiku is evocative.
Mm-hmm.
And intuitive perception.
Mm.
Those are the parts people have trouble understanding.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I just thought that's the part I think if you... Many times I've said this over and over, like I even said here, when you do the 575 line pattern, just use junior high school English, things you learned in the first year of junior high school, like the first line has 5 syllables, the second has 7, that type of thing. So instead of using these words are just a guideline, but make sure you're comfortable with the words. And the reason I said that is because students memorize this. Oh, okay. The themes of haiku are inspired by intuitive perception. And they go, do you know what intuitive perception is? So it's if you say words, make sure you know what they mean.
Yes.
Don't just memorize something. And that's all I meant.
Okay.
It's fine if you could say, you know, intuitive perception is like a hint into some kind of concept of nature. It gives a hint of a concept of nature. But many students, I find out, don't know what they're saying. And that's what I thought for that example, is that you should probably have something that you're comfortable with saying.
Okay.
And I think all of your answers are fine. Okay?
Okay.
So, yeah, if they use words in these model answers, which are guidelines, and you're not familiar with it, either learn the word, but also, you know, I try to tell you which words are more common, which words are not so common. And these words are not so common when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of literary words. Okay? That's all. The other ones are fine. The haiku, I think, is a exception that it has some difficult expressions that probably could be said a little easier, so that's what I tried just to help with that. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good. Let's go to number 3, and I'll let you have the microphone. So let's go to the question, which is, what is hanko?
Hanko is a personal seal which has the same function as a Western signature. And hanko is usually made of wood, stone, or ivory, and engraved with family names.
Okay, and is engraved with family
and
names.
Engraved with the family name.
Okay, good. I think, again, if I were to say this, I wouldn't say Western signatures because it's like, what's that? So I would say signatures in the West or signatures in Western countries. And then that's more clear. Okay? So Western signatures is, what is that? Seibu no, right? Seibu no shome. It's like, what's Seibu no shome? So it sounds a little awkward to hear. So signatures at the same legal status as signatures in the West. And then people could understand that probably a little bit easier. It's longer, but it's more clear, I think. The expression is better. Okay, let's maybe pass it to her. What is hanko?
In Japan, the hanko or personal seal has all the legal validity that the signature has in other countries. While a handwriting signature is not recognized in law, both companies or other organizations and individuals possess hanko, and every adult Japanese will have two or three, one of which is officially registered and is called jizin. Some has the mitomein, sometimes called samonban, is used for approving memorandum and other documents of less importance. On the other hand, jizin is used for stamping contracts and other legal documents. The jizin is officially registered at one's local government office. That's all.
Okay, good. All right, that's fine, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, can you tell me what is hanko?
Yes, hanko is a personal seal of the same legal status as signature in the West. And Japanese people, we have three types of hanko: jitsuin, mitomein, and ginkoin. Jitsuin is the registered seal at the local governmental offices. Local government office.
Jikoin, what?
Jitsuin.
Jitsuin is registered.
Is registered seal.
Okay, is Jitsuin is a registered seal. That is
and
registered.
Its impression is officially registered.
Okay.
At the local government.
Right, okay.
And is used for official documents and for important transactions.
Okay.
Mitomein is we buy cheap hanko from stationers and use it for receiving mails.
Right, receiving
mails. And another one is ginkoin.
Okay.
It's registered with a bank, seal registered with a bank.
Okay.
And it's used for withdrawing money instead of cash card.
Instead of using cash card. Right, okay. Good. All right, so you have this, mitomein is the most difficult to explain, maybe, right? Because it's what, seal of approval. Many times they say, confirmation seal. Some places call it confirmation seal, but I just say like seal of approval. And it's used what? Mitomein is a seal of approval used for simple everyday transactions. Such as when receiving what, registered mail and deliveries or packages. Okay, so something like that. And it's just to give your, acknowledgement. Sometimes they say the seal of acknowledgement that, oh, I received the package, I received the registered mail, oh, I read this document. So that's what it means. Okay?
What's a transaction?
Transactions mean everyday transaction means like business dealings or everyday procedures, you could say. So used for simple everyday procedures. Does that help you?
Yes.
Okay, or simple everyday business. Such as when receiving registered mail and packages, and what, giving approval to say, or acknowledging that you read something, which you said, like for memorandums in the office, you put your hanko and say, I read this, I understand this. Okay. What are important documents that you use your jitsuin?
Land transaction.
Yeah, can you maybe, so everyone hears you.
Land, to purchase land, that's real estate transaction.
Sure.
Land, house. It's very important
Production. Right. So when you purchase land or house, or even somebody, when you sell it too, you have to put your your jitsuin there, right? And when you make a new company.
And also we have to attach, this is a real registered Hanko with government office.
Mm-hmm, right.
We have to attach certificate.
Right, you have to put the certificate, right?
Issued by local government.
Right, and just as the other example is when you, if you open a company and you're the president or the, you have to, the president who needs to have the jitsuin there. Okay, so I think, you know, what's hard to explain is that for the, in the West, some people, kings used to have seals. And important people, kings and like the Pope in Rome, they have seals, but they don't have three. So that's why it's complicated Japan, because you have three. It's like, what's the difference? So the banquen, you can use that to take out money and if you don't have ATM. But now people don't use it too much, right? You just go to the ATM. But anyway, this mitomein is a little hard to understand. Why do you need that instead of the jitsuin, you know?
But not only we store, we use yinkoin for opening account.
Well, yeah, you need, yeah, for opening the account and things, right. So, but a lot of people just use the regular, some people have a nice mitomein and they just use that for the bank account too.
Yes.
Okay, I think we're fine with this one. Any questions? No? Okay. Then let's go to the next question, which is question four. And it's a different subject. It talks about, it talks about Nishijin Ori. So what is Nishijin Ori?
Nishijin Ori is the name of a silk fabric and brocade, which is produced in the Nishijin district of Kyoto. And the fabrics produced here are used for such items as kimono sashes, tablecloths, and neckties.
Okay, good. That's what the model answer is. I'm fine with that. Good, let's see what your answer is. What is Nishijin Ori?
Nishijin Ori is the cloth produced especially in only produced in Kyoto, and it's used, of course, for kimono and kimono sashes and many small souvenirs. Nishijin Ori is very colorful and is of silk.
Okay, good. And I'll ask you the same question. What is Nishijin Ori?
Nishijin Ori. It's the name of a silk fabric and brocade produced in the Nishijin district of Kyoto. The name Nishijin Ori originates from the time of the Onin War.
Okay.
And the 15th century. For 10 years, they warred in Kyoto. Warring factions of samurai split the capital, Kyoto, not Tokyo, capital.
Yeah, they had the capital at the time, Kyoto.
At that time, into rival eastern and western sections.
Okay.
Nishijin, literally the western camp, and was the main headquarters of the Western forces because it was also the part of the city where the weavers were concentrated. Textiles from this area came to be called Nishijin Ori. To produce Nishijin Ori textiles require more than 20 separate procedures. And weaving a single bolt of kimono fabric takes a tremendous amount of time. Sometimes it progresses at a rate of just 1 centimeter a day. And, well, in this weaving method, the reverse side of the fabric is uppermost as the weaving is done. So the weaver has to use a mirror to inspect the progress. Nishijin Ori is a product of such a super workmanship. That's why it's expensive.
Right, that's why I said it's how much does it cost? It costs lots of money. Some of the things aren't too bad, like neckties. But many of the neckties are just like the more like the fabric type rather than brocade. Brocade is more heavier and more detailed with gold.
It's kabuki actors
costumes. Yeah, the costumes, right? Kabuki actor costumes, right? But neckties and what tablecloths and little handkerchief or something maybe is from just the regular type of fabric, but it looks very nice. Okay, good. Okay, let's go to question 5, which is Yuzen. And that question is, you want to start again? Okay, good. What is Yuzen?
Yuzen is a special craft of Kyoto. And silk fabrics are dyed with various colors and patterns. And Yuzen dyed scarves, handkerchiefs, and other items are very popular, and the process is said to have been invented by Miyazaki Yuzen, who is the artist in the late 17th century.
Okay, do you know what the process is? You don't know. Okay, well, let's just ask you the question first. You might have it in your answer. So what is Yuzen?
Now, Yuzen refers to both kimono fabric dyed in the Yuzen method and the Yuzen dyed kimono itself. And if you look at Yuzen fabric, you notice white lines on the Yuzen dyed cloth. The white lines are result of applying starch onto the fabric to prevent the dye from spreading.
Mm-hmm.
The technique means that many different shades of dye can be used. Yuzen, I have long composition, but I'll make it short.
Okay, well, if you want to read it, go ahead. Today we go. If you want to read it, it's good information if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Probably if your answer it's too long, but you give us some information. Well, do what you like to do. Okay.
I'll read the short ones.
Okay, read the short ones.
Yuzen is sometimes called the art of water. In the final process, Yuzen is washed in the water from underground. And the water should also have a very low iron content to bring out the vibrancy of the colors. And since ancient times, people in Japan have had a strong affinity for the beauty of nature, and Yuzen kimono uses various elements of nature, and they are meticulously depicted to give the kimono an elegant look. The process is said to have been invented by Miyazaki Yuzensai, an artist of the late 17th century.
Okay, good. Can you say, that's my thing. Can you tell me what you said about underground? I wasn't sure how that worked.
From water underground?
Yeah, chikasui, underground water.
Oh, okay, probably from underground water.
Yeah.
Not water underground water. Okay, do you want to check that sentence again?
The water drawn from underground is used.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, all right. Water drawn from underground is used. Yeah. All right, then that works. And what is your answer for Yuzen?
Yuzen is a special craft of Kyoto, in which silk fabrics are dyed with a wide variety of patterns and colors. It is called Yuzen because it was invented by Miyazaki Yuzen, an artist of the late 17th century. Yuzen can express a lot of variety of patterns freely. On the other hand, Komon or Oshima Tsumugi has the same pattern.
Okay, all right, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, say that last sentence again.
I'm not so sure, but Komon or Oshima Tsumugi has the pattern, same patterns. On the other hand, you then can express freely any shape.
Okay, all right. So what you need to say is another type of but dyeing method is what's it called?
Oshima Tsumugi.
Okay, another type.
Komon.
Okay, another type of dyeing method is Oshima Tsumugi and Komon that use repeated patterns. They use repeated patterns throughout the dyeing process. So repeated patterns, or repeating patterns, right? Whereas Yuzen is actually hand-drawn and hand-painted pictures. That is not a repeat of a pattern. It's freely drawn. Okay? Yeah?
Okay. Whereas Yuzen can express freely hand-drawn picture.
Okay, yeah. So that's what you need to say, something like that, okay? But you all know what it is. Why is starch applied? Why is there starch applied? Why is starch painted on the cloth? Do you know starch?
Starch?
Yeah, starch.
Glue.
Well, yeah, okay. Probably we would... They, in Japanese you say nori, but English there's two words, glue and starch. And glue means something made to stick, but starch is just like a paste. Okay, so that's the word starch. We wouldn't say glue. Okay, so what do you know why the starch is applied? Why is the starch painted?
To get away the mixing of colors.
Yeah, to get away, to keep away.
How about candle?
Candle wax?
Wax.
Yeah, wax is used in, famous for that is Indonesia, batik. Yeah, so candle wax, I think maybe in Japan it could be used also, but batik is the word for in English, and that means putting candle wax to keep the colors from separating. But there's also different techniques for that too. But candle wax can be used. Yuzen does not use candle wax. Yuzen uses starch. Nori, you say starch. In Japanese. But nori is starch. Oh, we can, yeah, just keep it. Yeah, Yuzen is, we say starch. Do you understand the difference between starch and glue? The Japanese use the same word, nori. Glue is used to attach something. It's sticky. Yes. Where nori is sometimes used for like clothing, and it keeps it like without wrinkles. Okay. So when you
completely different thing.
Yeah, it's actually a completely different thing, yeah, in English, yeah. Okay, are we all right with this? And so as you said, after they wash, they need to wash this cloth, this yuzen, after it's dyed, they need to wash it. And when they wash it, the nori, the starch goes away, and where the starch was painted, it's left white. So you have these lines of white that outline the picture. Okay, do you understand what it is? Yeah, again, this is something that, you know, you answer the question, but you're not really sure what it is. Like, you know, what is Yuzen? It was something invented by, you know, Miyazaki Yuzenzai or something. And, well, what is it? Oh. Okay, I'm not an expert, but I know that's what it is. Okay, are we okay?
Yes.
let's go to question six. Question six is okay. There's some things maybe you might want to change. One of it, I think, is in the second line in the middle. It says several distinctive local dialects in the Japanese language. I don't think you need to say in the Japanese language. It actually means it kind of confused me when I read this. So I don't even, interestingly enough, you say, although Japan is a small country, I don't even need, you just, you know, sometimes take out a lot of these words you don't need to say. So Japan is a small country, and there are several dialects. So although Japan is a small country, there are several dialects. You can say that. And then, for example, the standard Japanese word for thank you is arigato, but in Osaka, people say okini. Okay, yeah, people from all areas, including Okinawa and Aomori, can communicate with each other in standard Japanese because everybody learns standard Japanese in school, and TV news and documentaries are spoken in standard language. So everybody understands it. Okay, so I'll just let you know, let me see what your answers are, and then if I'll if we need to fix or if it's a good answer, I'll let you know. Let's see what you have for what is. Tell me about the dialects, or tell me something about the dialects in Japan.
Even though Japan is such a small country, Japan has a lot of dialects. Some years ago, in old time, it is said when people meet from Tohoku and Kyushu, they cannot communicate well. But now, mass media like TV is everywhere, so through standard language, everybody can communicate without difficulty. I was born in Yamaguchi. In Yamaguchi, how much is said number? But in standard language, it is ikura. So if I use Yamaguchi dialect when I moved to Saitama, nobody could understand. But these days, when I came in my elementary days to Saitama, I was surprised. In Saitama, they were adding be in the end. But these days, nobody adds. So I think dialects are changing. And many people started to talk in standard language.
Oh, yeah.
Though every prefecture has its very unique intonation or how to say one word.
How to say some words.
How to say some words.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right, don't make it too long. So probably where you stopped, I think that would be fine. Okay. Probably the dialects are changing. Now, is that what you want to say? They're changing, or dialects are becoming less common? They're disappearing. Dialects are disappearing? I don't know. I'm not an expert, but probably she says in Saitama the Bay, whatever. And Chiba says something like the same.
Comedians on TV use such local dialects.
Well, especially
to make, I don't know.
It sounds funny. It sounds funny. Yeah, the comedians use it, especially Osaka. But nowadays, a lot of it, most everybody understands Osaka Ben because of TV.
Yeah.
Right? But some of the, like younger people don't speak with Saitama Ben or
Tohoku,
or even Tokyo has its own dialect too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tokyo dialect?
Yes.
There's some words that are not technically standard. Do you know what they are? an example.
Sa, so sa, sa, a, as sa, in Tokyo, I think.
At sa, okay. Okay.
In those states, young people use their own language. I don't understand.
Well, yeah, a lot of the young people's language, chamukatsuku, and all that kind of thing, right? You know, that stuff is kind of modern slang. But in Tokyo, what is it? Salmon. The typical is sake, but Tokyo is shake.
Oh, yeah?
And shaku. Instead of shaku, it's kind of shaku.
I was born in Tokyo, but
they said something that they say that the H, shaku is shaku kind of thing, and sake is shake for salmon.
Shitamachi?
Maybe shitamachi, yeah. Maybe, yeah, they're shitamachi people, so I've heard they say shake for, you know, salmon, but the SH sound kind, shake, and shaku yen. Instead of hyaku.
Not
hyaku yen. But again, that's shitamachi people. So there is kind of a little dialect in Tokyo. Okay. For shitamachi. Again, that's probably disappearing, right? Older people might say it. This obachan, she used to say shaku, you know. But, okay, what's your answer for what? Tell me, the question is, can you tell me something about Japanese dialects?
Japanese country is a very small country, but
Japan is
a very small country, but each prefecture has its own dialect. And when you say thank you in the standard Japanese, we say arigato. You can say arigato, but in Osaka, people say okini. And even though there are many dialects in the country, we can communicate each other without problems because we learn a standard Japanese at school, and we can also listen to the standard Japanese on TV.
Okay, good. Communicate with each other.
Communicate with each other.
Yeah.
What is the difference between each other and one another?
Nothing.
Okay.
So, but you need the with there. Communicate with one another, communicate with each other.
Okay.
It's some of the, you know, English, when you learn the word communicate, you learn, communicate is, you know, talk. But communicate with actually is needed. It's like some verbs you must have the preposition, right? Wait for. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting the mail. No, I'm waiting for the mail. It's listen to. I've listened music. No, I listen to music. So technically they should be taught together. But in all the time they don't put them together. So that's why people have trouble. But technically some verbs always require the preposition. So listen to is one of them. Communicate with is one.
I thought when I use each other, I don't need to put the with.
No, you need it. So communicate with, listen to, wait for. You know, they're like a verb phrase. And without that, it's incorrect English. But you just learn like to wait is matsu. Right? Mm-hmm. Matsu, wait. But it's not wait, it's wait for. Okay. That's, I'm not say you, but I'm saying they should, you know, everyone should remember it's wait for. Or listen to music, you know, ogaku o kiku. But listen to. So with is needed for with each other or with one another. Good. Okay. And what is your answer for what is, tell me about some the Japanese dialects.
We have many dialects. We have many, many local dialects.
Okay.
But the dialect spoken in around Tokyo is called standard Japanese. And in schools and TV and broadcasting system, they use the standard Japanese is used. and everybody can understand and communicate with each other using the standard Japanese.
Okay, can you give me an example of some dialects?
Dialects. Just like she said, instead of saying, thank you, arigatou gozaimasu, Osaka people say, okini.
Right, so yeah, that's a difference, right?
And what else? I just don't think.
Well, she said that actually, nambo is.
Nambo.
Now people actually say that sometimes too, right? It's more common.
Nambo?
Yeah. She was saying how much? I think that's from the TV show, right? So Osaka says, Kansai Ben says nambo or something.
Nambo, yes.
So people understand that. Mm-hmm. And. Kyoto also is okini?
Kyoto to okini.
I think so, yeah. Kyoto, so some of the Kansai area there. Okay, I think your answers are fine. I think they're fine, just a few grammar things, but I think they, you know, tell a little bit about it. You know, some people mentioned the Zuzuben and things, but some of the answers of other students became very complicated. So probably these answers are good examples, just very standard. You know, someone tried to say that people in Tohoku is very cold, so that's why they speak Zuzuben. I'm not sure. Maybe that's a theory, but, you know, because they're cold. You know. I'm not sure. Okay, what we'll do is go to question 7, and it's talking about the writing systems. Okay, and as I said, as some points here, I have, when you talk about Chinese characters, just you can, kanji is actually quite commonly used in the West now. When they talk about Japanese, they say kanji. So you could probably use kanji or Chinese characters, okay? Because when people talk about Japanese, they usually know it's written in kanji. So it can be used okay. Along that, you might want to say, you know, kanji or Chinese characters. Now, the second line says an adapted form of Chinese characters, which is technically true. Not all the Chinese characters, you know, Chinese language characters and Japanese language characters mean the same. You do know that, right? So some of the meanings, even though the kanji is the same, the meanings are different. They've changed because of the countries. One of the big examples I've given is the word for you, oyu. Right. In Japanese, oyu, what does that mean?
Warm water.
Yeah, hot water, warm water. And what does this you character in Chinese mean?
It's hot water itself.
No, it means soup.
Oh.
I've heard. So the joke is when Chinese people come to onsen, they have a... The water says, you know, oh, you and then whatever cold water, and then they look at, oh, soup comes. So some of the meanings do have little change. I'm not sure if I'm not a Chinese speaker, but I've heard that you is soup or part of the word for soup. So anyway, that's there. Other than that, hiragana is considered cursive or round shape, and hiragana is angular or box shape or square shaped. Again, cursive and angular are more of a calligraphic expression that people might not understand. So they say, oh, hiragana is cursive. Oh, what does that mean? So they're not really sure sometimes. Anyway, what is your answer for the three writing systems? What are they?
We have three writing systems. One is kanji, which means Chinese characters, on which the Japanese writing system is based. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese characters represent the context of the words. And the other two writing system is the other two writing systems are hiragana and katakana. Hiragana are round phonetic characters and usually used with Chinese characters. If you add hiragana to Chinese characters, they are going to be verb, adverb, and adjectives. And katakana is angular phonetic characters, and it is usually used for writing foreign words. That is the three writing systems.
Okay, good. Right, another thing I did not point out is that instead of saying foreign loan words, no, but you're fine. I think people nowadays say foreign words. They don't say foreign loan words. It's not as common. It sounds old-fashioned. I don't know why they had these foreign loan words. You're borrowing the words. When are you going to return them, right? It's kaisen. I don't know why they have this expression, foreign loan words. So, anyway. Okay, do you want to answer? Tell me about the three writing systems used in Japan.
Japanese originally was only speaking language.
Okay, once more. Japanese was only a spoken language.
Japanese was originally only for speaking language.
No, only a spoken language.
Japanese was only originally only a spoken language.
Okay.
People wanted to record. So Japanese people rented the Chinese character from China.
They rented? No. They adopted. They used Japanese people used.
Japanese people used the Chinese characters. At first, the Chinese characters were for men, especially. But some years later, women invented the hiragana.
I don't know if you're answering the question. I think your answer is too complicated. So do you want to try again, or you want to listen first and then think about it? You want to try again? Start over, yeah. So when you say Japanese is really only a spoken language, that's okay. After that, just tell me about the writing systems. Okay, once more.
Japanese language is a member of the archaic family of languages, and it has many words in common with Korean and Chinese. However, its syntax is quite different from that of Chinese. Japanese is written using Chinese characters in combination with two syllabaries named hiragana and katakana. Chinese characters, kanji, are ideographs representing objects or ideas. The Chinese characters or kanji all have meanings, while hiragana and katakana represent sounds only. That's all.
Okay, all right, that's a little better. I'm not, you know, it's okay, but I think you probably would need to say the part about the Japanese language being the altaic?
Altaic.
Yeah, the altaic language. That's probably not a part of this answer. So answer your question directly. Tell me about the three writing systems. Japanese has three writing systems. One is Chinese character called kanji. And these kanji represent concepts and actions, and actually you are not a phonetic alphabet. They're actually like a code to mean the word, to have the meaning of the word, and you cannot use it to pronounce. Hiragana, katakana are derived from, or came from, kanji, and they are a phonetic alphabet. So each one represents a sound, and because of this, they are used differently. Okay, katakana is one alphabet that's used to write foreign words and onomatopoeia, which are sounds like peda peda and, you know, goshi goshi, these types of things you use, or foreign words. Hiragana is used in combination with kanji to make verbs, adjectives, and nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs out of the root word that is the kanji part. Okay, so something like that is how I would answer this. Okay, so answer the question a little bit directly, and that would probably work. What is your answer for... let's see, the three writing systems. Okay, tell me about the three writing systems used in Japan.
Three writing systems are kanji, Chinese diagrams, hiragana, and katakana. Kanji, each kanji is a symbol or concept, and hiragana and katakana are both from hiragana, katakana, both came from and simplified from kanji.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And both hiragana and katakana are phonetic.
Well, I just say alphabet, you know, writing systems, writing systems. But yes. I just say phonetic alphabets.
Okay. Phonetic alphabet, that means syllables, represents syllables.
Okay.
And kanji and hiragana often used in combination.
Right. How are they used in combination?
For instance, conjugating ikimasu. Mas is hiragana. Iku, right. You know, that's a katakana, and the kanji
right.
plus masu or something conjugating.
Right. So the root.
It's hiragana.
Right, and the root part is the kanji.
Root is kanji.
Right, so by putting the masu, ikimasu, or mikimashita, it changes the verb tense.
Katakana, we use katakana for writing words originated from foreign country, and right. also for foreign people's names.
Right,
and,
okay.
Yes.
All right, good. All right, are we okay with this?
Yes.
So practice what you have. I think the answers are fine. It's not very, very complicated. It is complicated, but your answer does not have to be complicated. Okay? And, you know, basically this, answer here is okay. It doesn't explain how the most difficult part of this is explaining, you know, kanji is used in, hiragana is used in combination with kanji. That's fine, it's correct, nothing wrong. But know how they're used. Well, why do you have to put hiragana, katakana, hiragana and kanji together? Why don't you just use kanji?
Mm-hmm.
Right, well you can't, because Japanese verbs are conjugated, adjectives, adverbs, these words are used with the root part that is the kanji, and by attaching the hiragana, you make verbs, you make adjectives, you make verb tenses. Okay?
Okay.
And let's take a break, and we'll go on to question number 8. And question number 8 is really, really difficult, I think. To me, this is the hardest one to explain. I think just a little bit more is needed to explain what happened. Okay? All right. And probably because these others, we have time, I'm going to review questions and just ask lots of other practice questions. Okay? Because we're going to run, we can't go home after we finish this. We have lots of time to practice, which is good. Okay.